Despite new rules to cut down on head injuries, the NHL has seen a number of key players sidelined by concussions this season. On Tuesday, in a game televised on RDS in Canada, the Montreal Canadiens hosted Boston when Bruins defenseman Zdeno Chara checked Canadiens winger Max Pacioretty into the boards. Pacioretty left the game with a concussion and a broken vertebra. The NHL chose not to suspend Chara for the hit. Joining me now is Elliot Friedman, who serves as a commentator for Hockey Night in Canada on the CBC. Elliot, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you very much for having me, Bill.
When Chara hit Max Pacioretty, it wasn't a blindside hit, but Pacioretty hit his head on the turnbuckle, the corner where the glass protecting fans ends in front of the visitor's bench. Tell us how that play unfolded.
Well, what happened was it was a race for the puck, something you will see hundreds of times in an NHL game. Pacioretty chose to go on the route closer to the boards, and it was a 4-0 game. Boston, Chara's team was losing. And then, as happens, because the game is so fast, the players are so big, and that stanchion or turnbuckle, as you mentioned, was there, we almost had the worst possible outcome. It's very difficult to decide intent, but the fact is a reckless play occurred and a player was seriously injured.
It sounds as if perhaps you don't agree with the National Hockey League's decision not to suspend Chara for that hit.
You know, it was hard to decide. I think that's an extremely difficult play to judge in regular speed. Initially, in the beginning, I felt, hey, it was an accident. But there are some really moderate, intelligent players who are speaking out and saying, you know, you should have given him something. Even if it was a short suspension, something should have happened. And I'm coming around to that opinion.
This week, Montreal police began an investigation into the hit, and Air Canada threatened to pull its sponsorship if the league didn't address the issue of player injuries. This isn't just a hockey story anymore, is it?
That police thing is ridiculous. Max Pacioretty opened up a Twitter account on Thursday night, and he said it shouldn't be a police investigation. And the Air Canada story, and, you know, Bill, I could be proven wrong on this, but it sounds like it's one employee who was a Canadiens fan and wrote an angry letter and made the mistake of sending it to seven people. And, you know, Air Canada flies 11 teams, and they make about $25 million a year from doing that. And I think it was just one guy who temporarily lost control of his emotions.
The general reaction in New England, perhaps not surprisingly, seems to be that Pacioretty's injuries occurred because of where the check took place rather than because of the nature of the check itself. If Pacioretty maybe was a couple of feet to the left or the right, it's a routine play. How is the hit viewed in Montreal generally?
Well, the hit in Montreal is viewed the 100% opposite. But I think one of the things you have to do is you have to take the emotion out of it. Look, there's no doubt. This whole thing with Char and Pacioretty started when Pacioretty cross-checked him from behind when scoring the winning goal in the game back in January. And it continued in that brawl fest between the two teams last month. The bottom line is it doesn't matter what the Boston fans think, and it doesn't matter what the Montreal fans think, because they're biased in either way. Mm-hmm. What we all should be seeing here is people who love hockey is, how can we prevent this from happening again? Because nobody wants to see that.
Elliot Friedman is a commentator for the CBC's Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, thank you very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure, Bill. Take care.
The debate about how pro hockey should respond to the injuries various players have suffered is not new. At the beginning of the current season, the league instituted a new rule, Rule 48, penalizing players who target their opponents' heads with their checks. The most illustrious player currently suffering from the after effects of a concussion is Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins. That team's director of player personnel, Dan McKinnon, was one of several league executives who attended the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference in Boston last weekend. McKinnon says players identifiable as repeat offenders are beginning to get the message, but such offenders should be penalized even more severely.
But I know what the devil's advocate response to that is. You know, we have a player on our team, Matt Cook, who's a repeat offender as well. So I just have to sit back and accept the league's assessment, but we're all making the comment that eventually the penalty is going to have to be so stiff that there's a real punitive reaction to it on the player's part where they just say, I can't do this anymore.
Stiffer penalties may help alleviate the problem, but according to USA Today hockey writer Kevin Allen, the contemporary game has the potential for serious injury built into it, no matter how the league tweaks the rules.
Hockey has very bad physics. We've reached the point where the average player is 215 plus pounds. We have players in this league that are almost 270 pounds. They're skating almost 30 miles an hour. They're shooting a puck 90 miles an hour. There's a lot of forces going on the ice that are just downright scary. When players come together now, it's a car crash.
Still, as anyone who has watched college hockey or the game as it's played in the Olympics knows, exciting hockey does not require players to punch each other in the head or go after each other with sticks. Crowds can be enthusiastic about hockey even if no player leaves the ice on a stretcher. For that reason, according to Kevin Allen, the NHL's general managers, who will meet on Monday in Florida, may be inclined to consider the way hockey is played at other levels when they think about adjusting their game.
What we're seeing now is there's a larger group that says maybe we ought to be looking at the international rule, which says no hit to the head, whether accidental or on purpose, is legal. And my guess is that it won't pass this time around, but usually in these cases, it takes time.
If change as dictated by general managers and league officials is likely to be deliberate, any adjustment on the part of NHL fans is also bound to be gradual. According to Elliot Friedman, some surveys have demonstrated that fans prefer games that involve fights. The ongoing challenge for those in charge of the game is to find a balance that preserves the attraction of their product while protecting the men without whom no product would exist. You hear my voice each week. Bet you didn't know that I can hear yours, but that's only true if you leave a comment about the show on our listener line. To do that, please call 617-353-1860. It's 19 minutes past the hour. Steve Whiteley, a heating engineer from Devon in the UK, called in on Tuesday and found there was no work to be done. Then he noticed that the Exeter Racecourse was letting folks in free. He had a free bus pass as well, so off he went. Mr. Whiteley, who says he makes it to the track only once or twice a year, put £2 on the accumulator bet, which requires bettors to pick the winners of six straight races, and then all of Mr. Whiteley's picks won. The last of them, Lupita, was written by Jessica Lodge, who'd never before ridden a winner. Mr. Whiteley didn't know that, and he didn't watch Ms. Lodge's triumph, said he was too nervous. In the largest payout in the history of the accumulator bet, Steve Whiteley's £2 netted him £1.45 million, or a little over $2.1 million.